Hey, how are you? This episode of Something Shifted forms part of a global movement called Podcastthon. Back in 2023, Podcastthon started with just 300 podcasters in France. But today, over 1,600 podcasters from all over the world are participating, which makes Podcastthon the world's largest podcast charity initiative. For a week in March, podcasters around the world publish an episode in an effort to raise awareness for a charitable cause close to their heart. As a parent to a child with special needs, I want you to know more about the work of a Cape Town-based organization called the Kaylee Campaign. So my plan was to rock up at their head office and have a look around, but life. So instead, I'm going super old school and I'm just going to pick up the phone and try to get hold of the CEO.
Kaylee Campaign, good morning.
Morning, hi, this is Sean speaking. I'm looking for Zelda Mycroft, please.
Sure, Nicole?
Thank you.
Hi, Zelda speaking.
Morning, Zelda, it's Sean speaking. How are you?
Hi, Sean.
If that last name, Mycroft, is sounding familiar to you, you score an extra 10 points. It should, because it means you've been listening to the previous episodes of Something Shifted. You'll remember I spoke with Kaylee Mycroft not too long ago. The Kaylee Campaign is the organization that Kaylee started with a group of friends.
Good to hear your voice.
So could you tell me more about the Kaylee Campaign, please?
The Kaylee Campaign is a social justice foundation that celebrates its 21st birthday this year. I think one of the special features is that our origin story is quite special. We were founded 21 years ago by five girls between the ages of 6 and 12, two sets of sisters, who created employment for both their mothers. So I don't think many other organizations can have that track record. So the mother of the Terry founders, Justine, Karen and Chelsea, Diane has been the financial manager of our organization for 21 years. And Kaylee and Erin are my Bambinos, and I've been the CEO for the past 21 years. So I think the most important thing about our organization is we built on love and relationships. We carry that ethos through to the work that we do with disabled children, their families, their communities, and we truly look at disability inclusion as being necessary across all the layers of disabled people's lives. What started off as five girls raising 20,000 rand to get a motorized wheelchair for their sister and their friend created the realization that what was actually being gifted was independence and choice. And it's those softer skills and values that really focus on the fact that even though we have 9,000 beneficiaries every year, we work directly with about 30% of that would be disabled people, children, youth and adults, and 70%, the majority of our work happens with non-disabled people because that's where the inclusion paradigm shift has to happen.
Those stats are incredible to hear. Can you tell me, you know, what are the things that you're involved in then?
So we're involved in inclusive education, focusing on early childhood development, because we believe that if children before the age of six can be set a framework in which inclusion happens easily and automatically, that sets them up as inclusion activists for the rest of their lives. So our own preschool, inclusive preschool, Kaylee Cottage Preschool, is really a living example of that ethos. We also work in community in about 40 mainstream preschools to also install that ethos of inclusion. And then adaptive sports, leadership development, and then general advocacy in all spaces is the broad mandate of what the Kaylee campaign strives for.
That's really incredible. I'm sure you probably hear that quite often, that the work you're doing is incredible. And I hope you're hearing that often, that the work you're doing is incredible. The lives and the number of lives that you've already touched up until this point, and you're saying you're marking your 21st birthday. What are you looking forward to next? What else is there that you still feel you have scope to achieve, Zelda?
Well, you know, I think the difficult thing working in the disability sector is that so often we have to revisit so many of the same things, and that you can't be despondent because we continuously find new people, new non-disabled people who do not understand the value of what disabled people bring to their communities. So I think in general terms, what we're aiming to do is for communities and society at large recognizing that disability excellence is a reality, that if we create space for disabled people to have an opportunity to reach their full potential, everybody wins. And in broad strokes, that's it. We need to be present in every aspect of life. And so often, disabled people are given the short straw, you know. People often speak about we need to practice tolerance. No, tolerance is an awful word. We need to expect acceptance, because all of us are different, and see where our common ground, work towards filling those spaces where we have common interests. And it is to the advantage of everybody if every member of a family and every member of our community is harnessed, their gifts, their talents are harnessed to complete that family and that community.
Absolutely.
Nobody should, you know, you often have this thing that says there was a movement and it's quoted all the time, nothing about us without us. And we've edited that. We believe that's quite a dated concept, nothing about us without us. We believe that it should be nothing without us. It shouldn't just be issues that affect our lives as disabled people or families with a disabled family member. We are human beings who have a right to have a voice in every space.
100% agree, and I immediately start thinking of universal design, and I know you're talking about space incorporating more than just a physical space, but if we do look at physical spaces, they aren't always designed universally. They're not universally friendly for everybody to be able to access them. And I'm hoping, and I'm pretty sure that the work that you're doing is opening people's eyes. What are the things that you're seeing the biggest changes? Where have you seen some of the biggest changes? Is it just in perception, or are there physical things that others are able to look at and go, wow, the Kaylee campaign has had an impact here. Look at what they've done.
I believe that the biggest impact we've had, first of all, our definition of sustainability has got nothing to do with money. Our definition of sustainability is we're still here. And really, you have to be tenacious, you have to be resilient in this space, and you have to keep showing up. And I think, to quote one example, in adaptive sports, We our second NPO, the Kaylee Sports and Recreation Club, in 2016 served legal papers on the Comrades Marathon because their rules stated no wheelchairs. So Kaylee and Anita, after 2 months of robust fighting and serving legal papers and including every man and his dog in a high-profile position in those legal papers, and then eventually threatening to take them to the Equality Court, resulted in Anita and Kaylee as assisted adapted athletes being able to do the Comrades Marathon in 2016. And we had to keep showing up so that it wasn't a one-day wonder. And the following year, Kaylee was the first wheelchair user to get her back-to-back medal. And then in 2018, a wonderful thing happened. Because of our advocacy, there is now, in the road running rule book for Athletic South Africa, there is a section all about the inclusion of wheelchair athletes. And now, 7 years down the track, Kaylee has completed 6 comrades. Anita has completed multiple comrades. I think it's 4 or 5. And other people are following suit. But for me, the important thing is we have a tangible reference in having changed the Athletic South Africa, not only their perception, but their rule book. And it means that we don't have to fight this fight because we've got it in writing that it is disabled wheelchair athletes' right to participate.
Mm.
So I always hold that up as a very big milestone moment. But it's only writing on paper if we have to continue showing up in those spaces.
Sure. Yeah, what a cool story. I mean, I was smiling from ear to ear and had, tears leaking out the side of my eye all at the same time, because it's such a joyous thing. And really, that emotion that drives that forward, bringing people together, essentially, is what you're doing, which is such a wonderful thing.
Absolutely. And Sean, the thing that I find most important is that when you continue to show up, we believe very strongly in person-to-person advocacy. Because when somebody has met Anita, when somebody has met Buta, when somebody has met Kaylee, it changes their lives forever, changes their perceptions about ability and what people can do. And it's in those changed perceptions that you gain. We don't want, allies is a lovely word, but what we want is more than that. We want collaborators. And we want people to actually make good trouble with us on our behalf. So you need more than collaborators. You need conspirators who go out to help change the world to be a more inclusive space. And in making time to do one-on-one advocacy, arriving in unexpected spaces is so important. You mentioned the physical environment and stairs and all of the things that possibly make it more difficult for wheelchair users, for example, to access a building. We've always been of the opinion that, oh dear, there are stairs. So now we actually want to get into that building because there are cool things happening in that building. So let's find a couple of strong men. And, not resisting or fighting the fact, you can do that as well. Say, this place needs to become physically more accessible around universal accessibility guidelines. But if we can change the attitude of people to get us into rooms in spite of those physical predicaments and challenges, those people lifting Kaylee's very heavy wheelchair up 5 steps are definitely going to look at those steps differently the next time they walk up there. So it's those changed perceptions, working on that all the time.
Yeah. A story I told somebody once about how having someone in your family, and obviously my child is still very small, with her disabilities and the challenges that you feel people are looking at you, you feel isolated. And invariably, the reason you don't see a lot of us out there is because we might very well feel exactly that, isolated. I don't feel welcome in this space, so I choose not to go out. But as Zoe has gotten older, and as we have realized people need to see us out, people need to see us as a family, people need to see us using spaces, exactly to your point, they need to see us, I try my words so carefully, but if I'm struggling in an environment, then step up and help me. If you've experienced that with me, you can see why it's important to advocate going forward.
Absolutely, collaboration. And I think I'm very fortunate that as a former school teacher, I was very happy to pass on instructions to total strangers and to children. So from the time that Kaylee started speaking and was little, we gave her a framework on how to interact with people. Because right from the beginning, kids particularly kids are delightful. They need to know, so they ask.
Yeah.
And kids would come up to me all the time and say, what's wrong with her? And I'd say, there's nothing wrong with her, but why don't you ask her? And then we framed the conversation with Kaylee for her to say, there's nothing wrong with my legs. They just don't work the same way that yours do.
Yes.
So look, a cool way in which I now work and walk, in inverted commas, in this wheelchair.
Mm.
And an important thing that happens all the time, the two words that we battle against all the time. The one is wheelchair bound, when everybody says, and that's sort of the go-to descriptor, she is wheelchair bound. And we say, no, she is wheelchair empowered.
Mm.
If she didn't have a wheelchair, she'd be homebound.
Correct.
So always trying to get people to see things positively. And then the other thing that we always push against is the word normal.
Yes.
Does she go to a normal school? Does she have normal friends? And we just had it this weekend. We were in Bloemfontein. Kaylee and her running partner Chantel did the marathon in Bloem last Saturday. And this very lovely man, elderly man, came and walked next to us and said to us, well, you know what? When she meets her maker, you don't have to worry, because when she meets her maker, she will be totally normal. And I had to actually just, total stranger, say to him, she's totally normal right now.
Mm.
And in fact, has accomplished a lot, but she is exactly, if you want to use a religious reference, this is the way she was made.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah.
And, you know, people use those terms so loosely and so frequently, and with the assumption of our children being less than.
Mm-hmm.
So that is the main perception that I feel we need to constantly do battle with. And sometimes it's ticking with a feather, and sometimes it's beating with a stick.
I love that. And let's hope we don't have to beat with too many sticks and can rather tickle with the feathers and they get it quickly, huh?
But sometimes you have to beat with that stick, you know? You can only, because there's a time for all of these actions. If I go back to the Comrades Marathon thing, we tickled with a feather for a good few weeks, ran out of time, and then we had to start, you know, we had to serve legal papers and we had to threaten and we had to beat with that stick.
Yeah, there's a lot of work to be done, and I think you've definitely you've spearheaded the way forward. And again, congratulations on everything that the Kaylee campaign has achieved up until this point, and I believe it will continue to do very much more. I will most certainly include details in the show notes of this episode for people to find you. But since I do have you on the phone, Zelda, what is the best thing that people can do to support those that are in predicaments that we're dealing with through the Kaylee campaign or adjacent to the Kaylee campaign? What would you suggest to them?
Oh, well, I think just in everyday interaction, the thing that separates non-disabled communities from disabled people is fear. The fear of not being understood, the fear of being embarrassed, the fear of catching something, you know, all of those unspoken fears. And my encouragement would be, when you see somebody who is different, to you, do not be fearful. Just how would you treat any other person? You go up and you speak to that person in the wheelchair as a person because that's what they are. So do not let your own fears of not being up to the task or not knowing how to respond. Be brave. Get out of your comfort zone and allow an interaction, encourage an interaction with somebody who is not like you in order for you to grow. Because so often people feel, I'm doing a favor to this person. I'm going to push them in this race. I'm going to volunteer my time at a school. And the biggest takeaway ever, and it's always the case, is when I'm doing something that I think is a good thing for somebody else, and I spend my time doing it, I am always the winner. So, we've always felt that we needed to foist Kaylee on other people with gay abandon because they were the lucky ones. People who meet our children, people who meet our friends who are disabled, they are the lucky ones because they are the ones who are gaining something special. They're learning lessons that they can learn nowhere else, and it's enriching their lives. And I think just before it's on my mind, I'm sure Kaylee has also mentioned it to you, that we're very intentional in using identity first language as opposed to people first language, where the acknowledged way of speaking or the generally accepted way of speaking is saying I'm a person with a disability, because there was that whole movement around people first, see me before you see my wheelchair, and that's where the nothing about us without us also grew out of. But a more modern movement is to claim disability pride, because when you say I'm a person with a disability and you put disability on the back burner, there's almost an implication of don't see my disability, see me as a person. And disability does define the way in which you live. When people say disability doesn't define me, Kaylee kicks against that all the time. She says, it does define me. My disability defines what I do with every minute of my day. And as a result, I need to have pride in my disability as part of my identity. So we don't say person with a disability. We say disabled person purposefully, because we're claiming the disabled tag as a thing to be proud of.
I hear you. And back to what you were saying as well about being fearful maybe of an interaction with a disabled person, I can say wholeheartedly that our friends that interact with my child who is disabled always come away feeling that much more enriched. So there's absolutely definitely something that they're gaining by doing so, by stepping out of their comfort zone and embracing whatever that fear that they may think they have. Stepping beyond that goes a long way for them and for those around them, and exactly what we're looking for, right, with the Kaylee campaign. So thank you, Zelda. Is there anything else you want to say before I let you go back to your very busy day of being a CEO and managing all sorts of various entities?
I just feel the need to finish on one quote that was coined by one of our founders when she was 6 years old. Chelsea Terry spoke about how inclusion can't be learnt. It has to be lived. And that's kind of become one of our rally calls. Inclusion can't be learnt, it has to be lived. And I think that is central to all the work that we do with the relationships, the conversations, the opportunities, seeing challenges as opportunities. It's all about interconnectedness and inviting other people along for the journey with us so that they can too learn the magic of what it's like to have every member of your community seen, heard, and truly appreciated.
Such a great quote.
Perfection.
Yeah, lovely. Zelda, thank you so much for your time. This has been really lovely.
Thank
and again,
you, George.
I'm sorry I couldn't visit, but hopefully in the near future I can pop around for a coffee or something. And
we look forward to that. We look forward to that. And we look forward to meeting Zoe as well.
Yes, we must make that happen.
Yes, let's do it. Thanks, Sean. Have a good one.
Thanks, Zelda.
Okay, ta-ta. Bye.
Bye. Thank you for listening to this episode of Something Shifted. We make this show as a labor of love and because we believe stories about possibility is just what the world needs to hear. We'd really love it if you would share this episode and be part of that shift for someone else too. And if you really like the show, go ahead and leave it a 5-star review and follow Something Shifted on Apple Podcasts or on Spotify. You can also leave a comment if you're using Spotify Mobile. I read them all and respond there too. You can join my mailing list, 321 Shift, and start the week off right with 3 things for your mind, 2 things for your body, and 1 thing for your soul every second Sunday. Plus, you'll automatically go into the draw for giveaways and have first dibs on tickets to live events too. All of the links to all of the things that I've mentioned are in the show notes. Big thanks as always to my executive producer, Rowinda, and of course to you for believing in possibility. My name is Sean, and this is Something Shifted. Bye.